you put our mouths, you put in our mouths. How I love you. You have not forsaken me. What a great lead-in to this sermon today. Good morning and happy Thanksgiving to you. As we've been preparing for this Sunday, the last few weeks and months, and Ajay, thank you for doing those interviews of people in our congregation, of Simon and Christine. Christine, thank you for the joy that you exude in explaining your faith. And for Simon, who's actually hanging out with family in Kelowna right now, but a young guy that's just following Jesus. And as he's around other people, he's been encouraged to do just that. But I would be after all of this, in this last week, after myself and others and have had reflection on the current events that are filling up our news feeds on our phones, on our TVs, news around the world, news in North America, news in our own city. We've decided to lean into what Thanksgiving looks like in light of that context. And I want to pose to us that we can live in the tension of lament, which is asking tough questions of faith, questions of how this world works, expressing emotive feelings of fear and anger, sorrows, and loneliness. And we can actually live in the midst of Thanksgiving in that too. I want to thank Debbie. Thank you for doing the display here. She probably didn't want me to say that, but it did. And all this came in the back of her truck, which is really awesome. Not the keyboard or things like that, but the stuff that looks pretty. And thank you for the reminder here in Thessalonians where it says, in everything give thanks. But I think some of us can maybe look at that and say, well, how do I give thanks? What does that look like in the midst of the life that's surrounding me right now? So today I've entitled this sermon, Authentic Thanksgiving. Recognizing that the pain, the hurt, the sorrow in the world, recognizing this while still being able to be deeply thankful as a people, so that we're not plastic. We don't maybe have a facade, although all of us do at some point. But we're actually living in the real world, and that it affects us, and it causes us to wrestle and ask big questions. And so I don't want to give a damper on our happy Thanksgiving, but in light of it, the first part of it might seem that way. But I think it's only human to be able to recognize that. And so, today, our psalm comes from Psalm 42, a lament psalm. And if you keep tracking with me, I think we can get somewhere that's going to cause us to move in a really good direction. But let's read these verses. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants also for you, God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go to meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to you, to God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony, as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Is that a typical Thanksgiving psalm? No. Now, the psalms are full of Thanksgiving psalms. Most of the psalms are lament, though. And the psalms are broken. The book of Psalms are broken up into five sections, and they've put a bunch of different psalms in that way. And some people will say that it moves from each section where lament, and then some more lament, and then it moves, the whole book moves to the end where it's actually praise and thanksgiving. And we see a lot of psalms are kind of a mini-me psalm of that type of picture as well. And most of the psalms, about 38, 40% of the psalms, are lament. And we're in this psalm finds us in the second section. And someone was saying, as you look through the sections, things become brighter. But here we are, looking at this psalm in light of whatever recent events you personally are walking through, or whatever events that have caused you pause, and have asked this question in the midst of reading or watching the news. Here, it's interesting that this same psalmist might have been the same psalmist, worship leader. I'm doing this. Maybe it was more like this. Maybe it was more just reading a scroll. Maybe it was a tambourine, not sure. This same psalmist might have been the one that also wrote, I'm going to clap for joy. This same psalmist was one that was probably leading a procession of thanksgiving and praise. In verse 4, he says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. What you're going to get here this morning is not me unpacking every verse here, but more of a pastoral angst that I feel myself as I hear about these things that happen in our world. As I walk with many of you and pray for you in the situation that you find yourself in. This psalm is remembering his stint as a worship leader. He remembers the holy joy and lots of thanksgiving. But right now, in this season, they're memories. He's more right now like a deer panting for a drink of water, clean water, stretching his neck to the stream. And he sings, my soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people continually ask, where is your God? It's a good question. Where is your God? Where is that God who was on those lips before? Where is the God before whom you brought these offerings and thanksgiving. I was brought to a song that we'll get to a little bit later on by an artist, Michael Joseph. It's called Turn Me Tender, that we'll look at in a moment, in a little bit. But there's a verse in there that he speaks about, and he says, laments have a purpose, laments have a cost. A requiem playing gathers the lost. Lament sometimes also gathers us as a community to ask these same questions together and to wrestle those out, what it means in our own life. See, we could come here today and I could say, it's Thanksgiving. Give thanks. But I'm sure some of us might go, I'm not sure I'm there yet. And in recognizing that this is a reality that even a worship leader in the house of God is walking through, I think we're able to do that as well. Walter Brueggemann, I love this quote by him. It's going to be up on the screen. A lament is an act of bold faith. On one hand, because it insists the world must be experienced as it really is and not in some pretended way. On the other hand, it is bold because it insists that all such experiences of disorder are proper subject for discourse with God. There is nothing out of bounds, nothing precluded or inappropriate. Everything properly belongs in this conversation of the heart. To withhold parts of life with that conversation is in fact to withhold part of life from the sovereignty of God. So at the risk of repeating myself maybe a third time, I know that some sitting here today or listening on the podcast don't feel thankful. There's too much that has happened to overwhelm you, that has overwhelmed you. And I want to say, you're welcome here. I want to say this is a place for us to be and to sit in the in-between. The psalmist here is living both with the memory and the anticipation of praise. But it just isn't his reality yet. Some of us find ourselves in a similar place. Thanksgiving is but a memory. And even as we experience a deep, there's a lot of us here that, but also will experience a deep sense of thankfulness this weekend. I also want to acknowledge people that just had a granddaughter born. You can't top that. New life in the midst of everything we're hearing. There's some of us that just have experienced so many good things. But I also think that some of us, myself included, that have experienced so many good things and are very thankful, we also realize in our memory that we're also shaped by loss. We're shaped by things that have affected us in negative ways. We've been shaped by a deep aching of our own souls. And there might have been also in our lives deep bruising, but we found ourselves at a place today of thanksgiving. To you, I say, welcome here. This is also home. So how do we live in that tension? And what does this look like? For the Jesus follower, we must see the beautiful truth that the God of the universe steps down into our world. Where is this God? Why do we put our hope in God? We put our hope in God because he, like those last words that we sang, I love you, how I love you. You have not forsaken me. That God in his wisdom through the person of Jesus, did not abandon humanity and let it ride out on its own, but came in a person revealed in Jesus. To start a new humanity that would walk and follow him under his lordship so that things might look different. We believe that God has stepped down into this world. And in that way, when we see the atrocities in our world, and we ask tough questions, I think we have to figure the balance of what does this mean for us now and wrestle with those questions. But how do we not allow those questions to maybe embitter us? Maybe say, put our hands up and say, that's it? And I wonder if it comes back to the fact of having compassion for what is actually happening that many of us are probably walking in. Maybe some of you are just overwhelmed with because you're such an empathetic person and compassion has overwhelmed you. I want to say that's a gift to have. Because some of us, in the midst of things, we can get really calloused hearts. And I'm turned to these words that this Martin Joseph writes in his song, Turn Me Tender. Turn me tender again. Fold me into you. Turn me tender again and mold me anew. Faith lost its promise and bruised me deep blue. Turn me tender again through union with you. What does it look like to have union with God in our lives? What does it look like to have a soft heart that we would experience the same emotion that Jesus would have when he looked across the crowds that we talked about a couple weeks ago? And he had compassion on them because they're a sheep without a shepherd. What does it look like for us as a people to allow this God who steps in our reality in history, but also our own reality as people of God that are walking and wanting to follow him, those of us that maybe don't even know him or just starting to come to know him, realizing that Jesus, even as he was showed his love and died on the cross and was resurrected, leaves us and says to us, I do not leave you as orphans. In Acts, we're going to talk about this in a month, where Jesus says, I give you the Holy Spirit to be with you. So I want us to understand in the midst of this that we have a God that has entered into our life, our world, to reveal who God is to us, the ultimate love of God, who Jesus is on the cross with the arms open wide, and the love of Jesus died for all of humanity and creation, for the redemption of all things Scripture speaks about. And yet, after the resurrection, he leaves us, but he leaves us with the Holy Spirit to then try to understand how we are to function of those people that are followers of Christ. So we can, our own personal lives, accept Jesus as Lord and Savior in our lives, accept the fact that he has, yes, forgiven me and saved me from death, from sin. But I think it moves a step forward in the fact that he was always, what we're looking in the book of Mark, he was always working with his disciples to do what? To get them thinking outside of what? Outside of themselves. Thinking of the things of God. And the things of God was what? Living a life of loving God and loving other people. He was moving them to imagine something bigger than what they could imagine themselves. And the something bigger was the fact that we need the eyes to include the Gentiles. We have eyes to include the ones that are out, that are like sheep without a shepherd. We need eyes to be able to see the ones on the outside. So how does this work with all of this? I think that authentic thanksgiving can stir our imagination of what the kingdom of God could look like here on earth. Not just that I'm going to accept Jesus in my life, and then when I die, I'm going to go to heaven. That's truth. But as I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, I say, you are King, and now I am going to walk in this. And I'm going to be maybe as confronted by Jesus sometimes, like we saw with Peter a couple weeks ago. You don't have the things of God, but you have the mind of humanity on your mind. And it's to move to be able to see with compassion those that are around us. I think that Jesus is always calling us to live the incarnation, the incarnated life. That means like God came flesh and was out in and amongst us. And now he's calling those that are following him to live in that same way. That we are to incarnate the body of who Jesus is. What does it look like to love? What does it look like to have compassion on those that need compassion? What does it look like to help those that are seemingly lost? What does it look like to walk with those that maybe I don't quite, might not get along with? We've done a few things at our church here to be able to do that. Corporately, we signed on to 4 missions that we want to take part of, and it's some local and global, we call it. There's a word called glocal now. Do you believe that? One is with Darian Julian and Youth Unlimited, and they realize the need for youth in the Langley area that are marginalized, that are pushed aside, that maybe are couch surfing, that are maybe that are on the fringe. They've said, we're going to provide space for them, and we are going to live out what Jesus has called us to do by revealing love to them in practical ways, in different ways. So thank you, Youth Unlimited. We've decided to come around Global Disciples with Paul Wortman and Ruth Ann, because they're bringing the good news of the gospel of Jesus to the most unreached people in the world. We've worked with Kawasha, I think I'm pronouncing that right. I always have to. With our little friend Moses. And we've said what it looks like to be Jesus followers is to help those that are in need, even the ones that are even far from us. And we've also said, let's help with MB Mission. And we're going to hear more about that in the weeks to come. But I had an opportunity, actually Stuart and I had an opportunity. Stuart, guy with the glasses over there, yeah. Let's be praying for Stuart. He's still working through a concussion. And we love you, and we want to continue to be praying for you in that way. Well, maybe one day the glasses will be off, and we'll be seeing you're healed. But Stuart and I had lunch with with Phil Wagler, who lives in the area, and works with, it's called the Friendship Center. It's on 148th and 108th Avenue. And there's been a big influx in that corridor of Syrian refugees and others, but a huge influx of displaced people, and most of them from a Muslim background. And Stuart and I were able to be there and see the work that our own mission is doing. But it's not overseas anymore. It's right here. It's right here. And they said, hey, last week there was an Iraqi guy and an Iranian guy in the, and they were actually talking to each other, and kind of at the end one guy said, he's not that bad of a guy. Well, those Countries have been at war for how long? And there's a little taste of the kingdom that is happening at the Friendship Center. Why do I say all that stuff about things out there? I think it's not just out there. We take part of those things so that it will actually shape our own lives. Shape our own lives in the way that we rub shoulders with our neighbors. We listen to stories like Christine has for us, that we're inspired to pray for people, that God would be working in their life as well. And we ask that God would work in our lives. And we come from a humility because we have experienced loss. We have experienced, we see all the stuff around us and we say, but it doesn't need to look like this. Because Jesus is shaping a community to look different. A community that is one that is embracing all people. With Jesus at the center. And we say, what does it look like to follow Jesus in that way? So as we look at this idea of Psalm 42, I think we can come to the conclusion that at some point, wherever we're at, would we be able to say we want to put our hope in God, and I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God? Would we understand that Jesus is actually incarnated here with us now and is leading us with compassionate hearts to walk with these people, when I say these, us included, that have been bombarded by the weight and the heaviness of all the news that is very real for a lot of people? Would we be those kind of thankful people? Would this thankfulness cause us to imagine what might look different in our lives? And as we're thankful, we also realize we want to be giving, because what we've received, we're freely able to give. So those are some of the ramblings in my head, in my heart. We want to be a people that are not plastic. We want to be people that are totally thankful for what's happening in and amongst us. But we recognize the hardship that is happening in people's lives as well. And we act on it. There's an interesting quote here by Brian Walsh from Ontario. I think he's a CRC guy. He says, "Lament without thanksgiving, remembered or hoped for, is a spiraling path that will suck you into the pit. Thanksgiving without lament, remembered or experienced, is a cheap sentiment that will not sustain you for the long haul." Would we be a people that would be so thankful because we realize what we're receiving from God are free gifts of his grace in our lives? And might we be willing to be people that in our thankfulness walk alongside those that might not be able to say they're thankful yet? In the midst of this, we're going to read a responsive prayer. And I've asked Sharon to come and lead us in that. And the band might want to come up afterwards. And you can use this one. And it's a prayer written by a person I got to know, Carol Penner. A friend from Ontario. She lives in Vineland right now, and that's my hometown. And it's a prayer to get us, as we pray, the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer is meant to, we pray things, but then we actually are to live those things out. That's really what prayer does. It changes our lives. There's intercession prayer too, where we plead with God to do his work. But when we pray things, we're actually asking God to move our hearts so that we can be people of prayer. So we're living out the prayers. And so that's where a lot of these responsive readings are. And so as Sharon leads us in this, we can follow along. And there will be parts where I think will look like yellow, shorter parts where we'll read all together. No, ours is white. So Sharon will read the yellow, and then ours is the white part that we respond in. Is that okay? Thanks.
So let's respond together, a Thanksgiving prayer in times like these. Thank you, Lord, for your care for all creation. You watch over the sun whose rays warm us. You order the moon whose light silvers the night. The seasons follow your guidance, and we give thanks for farmers and their harvests, for golden stubble fields stretched out for a long rest.
Thank you, Lord.
Even as food is collected and stored, we are mindful of places where food is hard to find. The rains didn't come and the plants didn't grow, or hurricane winds blew everything away. Open our hearts to share nature's bounty with all your children who are in need. Lord, have mercy. Thank you for your care for us, for the way you bring people into our lives to love us. Thank you for families, for friends, for our church community, offering love and support. Thank you, Lord. You know that we care for each other, yet we confess that we love imperfectly, sometimes grudgingly, sometimes with only half a heart. Give us the courage to apologize when apologies are necessary, and to try to do our best, modeling ourselves on Jesus Christ, who gave his whole life in service to others. Knowing your care for us, we are confident you care for others as we lift up those we love who are grieving or who face health challenges of various kinds. Lord, have mercy. We pray for newcomers to countries or to different places seeking a new home. Where there is sorrow, bring your comfort and a renewed belief that the world is a safe place for them. We all long for safety, especially in times like these. Lord, have mercy. Where there is violence, we need your peace. Where there is instability, your calming presence. Where there is hatred, your abundant love. Where there is suspicion and fear, your assurance. Lord, have mercy. God of great gifts, we long for a harvest of righteousness. Equip us as your church to be agents of your kingdom, ambassadors of hope, even in such a time as this. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.